Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about hiding your cash under the mattress? Haven't we all thought about that? Well, actually, that's what my grandmother used to do. She used to put her cash and jewelry under her mattress so she could sleep on it every night. Now tell me, would you like to learn more about creating your own exit plan? Yes, exit plan. That's the one where we leave. Have you ever wanted to know how to avoid conflicts within a family after someone dies? That's always a tough one. Can you imagine planning out your own funeral ahead of time? It actually would make things so much easier for your family. Tell me, do you know where all your stuff is? Yeah, you know, your will, your safe deposit box. Do you have it all organized for your executor? Have you ever heard about a book called Cash Under the Mattress? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to deal with your own exit plan? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest tonight. She is a professional artist with a BFA from the University of Southern California. My guest paintings are in private and corporate collections throughout the U.S. She was inspired to co-author Cash Under the Mattress after the loss of her own parents, as well as due to her firsthand experience with natural disasters. She believes that being prepared for all types of emergencies is invaluable. This book serves as her own private emergency kit for you, the reader. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Sally Lamb. Hi, Sally. How are you doing?
Hi, January. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. I've been intrigued with your book and your career. Tell us where you were born and how did your success story begin?
I am a local girl. I was born and raised in Santa Monica, California. And I always was artistic, and I ended up in fine arts with a painting degree, and I have illustrated books and done murals and all kinds of artistic endeavors, and right now I'm working on a film.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and all sorts of things.
Well, and when you look back on your early years, share with us some of the struggles you encountered, and would you share with us who some of your mentors were?
Well, struggles in terms of art always comes because the artist is always questioning, and it's a personal journey, very personal, and my paintings, I call them visual diaries.
Oh.
And it was hard sometimes to put all that information into a canvas and then have the public look at it. But I very often sort of disguise things as palm trees and bushes and plants, and so you don't really know who I'm talking about, but it was hard for me to begin to put it out there to the public. But I've also been an art teacher for decades and saw my own students struggle and said, you know, this is part of what you're doing. If this is your gift, you must develop it and give it back to the world. And I had a few prize teachers who were very great to me and helped me along the way. And I think it's like any form of the arts. It is very personal. It's kind of scary to put yourself out like that, but generally there is a reason why you're an artist, and there's a reason why you are made that way. And so I consider it a blessing.
Now, did your family support your artistic career?
Very much so. As a matter of fact, I was going to go and study speech therapy, and my mother signed me up for an art class back behind a framing shop one summer between freshman and sophomore year in college. I turned out to be the only student. They handed me my paints. They said, here's your brush. Go in the bin, pick out some paintings, and copy them.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Knowing absolutely zero nothing, I copied a painting every time I went. And 10 lessons, I'd copied 10 paintings. I had no idea that this was difficult, but I will say that it changed my life because I knew I could do it. And I thought, now this is something that's right. It felt right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
My parents and my sisters are enormously supportive of me.
Oh, that's fantastic. You don't hear that too often. Share with us a little bit about what it's like for someone who is pursuing a career as an artist and the rejection that goes along with that career.
Yeah. You have to be strong. You have to be strong. And one of the things that I teach people is, first off, we're going to paint the painting. Then we're going to put it in a frame. And then we're going to title it and price it and hang it on the wall. And you're going to have a show, and you're going to find out what it's like to be standing there, and a total stranger is talking about your work. And what does it feel like? Maybe they love it. Maybe they hate it. Maybe they don't even look at it. You have to have an emotional base that is strong enough to accept that and know that not everybody is going to be in the same state of mind. It helps to have other artist friends, so that you talk about it and be supportive of each other. I don't think it's for the weak at heart. I think it takes a lot of courage, frankly.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think artists and writers and actors, all three professions, go through a lot of rejection, and you're right. You cannot be weak of heart. How long did you teach art?
Oh, I've been teaching for decades. I've been teaching since my senior year in college, and teaching privately in an art school. And then I have been, that's 15 years, and then I've been working with students in their private art studios. Generally speaking, the people that come to me, I'm very rare. I'm a rare person because I go out to the people. They don't come to me. I go out to them. So the people that I go to see generally have a commitment to it. They have a space in their home or wherever. They have dedicated time and energy. And very often they're people who want a second career in art. I also have taught many, many people in the show business world, actors, actresses. And one of interesting story was an actress who came to me and said, I want to learn two things. I want to learn to play the piano, and I want to learn how to draw and paint. Because when you're in makeup and costume, and your scene is about to go on, but they have some glitch, and now you have to go back to your trailer and wait, she didn't want to read words. She didn't want to read anything. She wanted to keep her words in her mind and just do something else. And it was a great release for her to have that creative juice flowing, but not be disruptive to the filming.
Oh, yeah. So many actors were great artists. I know Red Skelton had many shows.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear about so many of our actors who have had great talent, and it makes sense. Now, you as a working artist, tell me what is harder or what was harder for you to do, your art or your writing?
Well, art and painting is just a natural for me.
The
writing of this book was a bit of a struggle, I will say. My co-author, Philip Giroux, and I did it. We worked on it for 10 years, and that's because we only could work. We had full-time jobs, and so we only had one day a week for 2 hours where the two of us would get together, and we'd sit in this office, and we'd work on this and work on it, work on it. And sometimes we get discouraged and we kept saying, no, we really want to do this. And we had it printed out and redone and over and over and over. So 10 years. Yeah, that was a struggle.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you hold the record, really, because I've had so many. I have authors on my show all the time, and myself being an author, I always ask that question, how long did it take you to write the book? And, you know, Sally, you hold the title.
Yeah,
sure. No one else has taken 10 years to write a book.
2 hours once a week is not very much time, and it's all we can could dedicate to it. And we put out, you know, reams of paper and all of our ideas. And actually, January, the hardest thing for us was to simplify. Make it simple. That was our goal. Keep it simple. And we delete. And finally we said, okay, this works. That's how we're the record keeper.
It's a difficult challenge, because I know so many of my mentors have told me when I got into writing that you want to make it so that anyone could see your book in Reader's Digest and be able to understand it. And I think that's a good criteria, simple as it goes, because otherwise if you're too complex, no one will understand it. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Sally Lamb, we are going to talk about her book, Cash Under the Mattress, that she wrote with Philip Giroux. And we'll be right back with Sally Lamb.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today.
I'm pleased to announce that the paperback is finally available now at Amazon.com. And if you buy the paperback, you will get the Kindle edition for free. We're back with another priceless personality on our show today, Sally Lamb, who is the co-author of Cash Under the Mattress. According to a study by Boston College, an estimated $41 trillion will transfer from the World War II and baby boomer generations to their heirs by the year 2052, making it the largest transfer of wealth in America's history. So how will you keep track of your family's legacy? And Sally's here to help us. Now, Sally, tell us what your book, Cash Under the Mattress, what is your motto for this book?
Well, our motto is the faintest ink is better than the strongest memory. And that was from Confucius in 479 BC. So we took that as a motto because it basically says, write it down. Write it down. You're not going to remember. And if you have it in one simple book, it's there. And you don't have to remember. You have peace of mind. It's sort of like making lists anytime. Get it out of your head and put it down.
Oh, that's such good advice. And there's so many of us who are listening who, you know, I've started to do it, but I haven't finished the job. And I think you're going to inspire me to do that. This book serves dual purposes. What are their two purposes?
One is disaster preparedness. And the other part is an estate in-depth inventory where you write out your own legacy issues and you have put down everything that you own that somebody might need, and so there's those two purposes. Our audience is definitely the baby boomers, their children, and their parents, and that's worldwide.
And so those are the purposes, and we know who our audience is. But this is a difficult thing to do for some people, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And unfortunately, nobody wants to face the fact that you will be gone someday. But it is the truth, and there are ways to make it easier for your family and your loved ones to face that by giving them enough information so that they can really know what your wishes are. That's a whole long list of things. It also helps dealing with somebody who suddenly is ill, for instance. And not everything is about family. Sometimes it's maybe your best friend and you have to step into their life. And you don't know who to call. What's happening? Where is everything?
Right.
So,
share with us your own personal experience in a disaster preparedness. And you live in Southern California, so I'm sure we're going to be talking about earthquakes. And also your personal experience in estate planning and legacy issues. What brought you to this topic?
Right. Well, earthquakes, of course, I've had those experiences all through my lifetime. And I've never suffered terribly. I mean, I had one place I lived in cracked in half right down the middle of the building. But I would say that and things were flying and falling all over the place, and it was scary. But I would say, actually, for me, I live in the hills and above Santa Monica area, and so wildfires have been...
Fires.
Actually, the hardest thing for me, I've been evacuated 3 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the first time, I was totally unprepared. I was shaking so bad I couldn't even pick up anything in it. And then the next 2 times, I had started to get prepared, and I realized that, first off, you do not have time. You have to be ready. You have to make a list of what you're taking. And you don't have time to go and look for your invaluable papers. You can't pick up files and drag them out. You have, when minutes count, and I mean seriously, minutes count.
You mean when they knocked on your door, how much time before they wanted you out that door?
The first time, the fire, all the fire people never got into my canyon at all. So there wasn't anybody to direct us, and there were flames coming down the street, animals on fire.
Gosh.
It was like being in a war. It was absolutely terrifying. The next time, there were fire marshals all around. I had been packing for about a half an hour. They put out with the blowhorn, they said, "You have, when it comes over this ridge, you will have 3 to 5 minutes to get out of here."
Wow.
And everybody who didn't believe how bad it would be, they didn't listen to me. And they were panicked. And then the third time, I really only had about, I'd say, maybe 6 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to be really ready. And
so,
the reason why this book is so handy is you pick it up and you grab and go with it.
Okay. So by the third time, you were a little more prepared, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do? Did you have your things in a safe deposit box or a fireproof box? Or what was your exit strategy? How did you get out of there with your valuables?
I have a list. I have lists that say, if you have 5 minutes, this is what I've decided to take.
Okay.
If I have 10 minutes, if I have 30 minutes, or an hour. After
okay.
an hour, you have enough time to, you can really load up your car.
Uh-huh.
But there are so many things that your mind goes blank, so you don't uh-huh. count on your memory. Your memory is not, it's going to get overwhelmed. You have smoke, you have sounds,
uh-huh.
you have fear, and so you must act based on preparation in advance.
Tell me what is on your 5 minute list.
A few photo albums, a few pieces
photo.
Of jewelry,
uh-huh.
A few items that were heirlooms.
Uh-huh.
And I also, by the way, have in my front hall a whole collection of paper bags that you get from grocery store or from shops, and they're
uh-huh.
all stacked up. Because one of the problems is you can only carry so much.
Uh-huh.
And you can use a pillowcase, but then things get so heavy that you can't even pick it up.
Uh-huh.
So I have all of these bags ready so I could put something in and carry it out, put it in, carry it out.
Uh-huh.
And each time I've been evacuated, I've been by myself.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody.
To help you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, do you keep all your valuables, like, in one place so they're easy to access?
Yes. Yes, I do. Which is, you're talking about jewelry and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes, I do. I also, before, I used to scatter them, and I realized when on a dry run, I timed
uh-huh.
myself.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I'll never make it. That's too much distance. There's no way. I couldn't run fast enough, and then I started thinking when the house is full of smoke,
uh-huh.
you know, and there's sirens and helicopters, it terrifies you, and so you start to shake. No, this will never work. If I'm going to live in a zone where I have a fantastic view, I also have to
yeah.
be practical.
Yeah. So your advice is to do some practice drills, like
yes.
time yourself for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. 1 hour sounds like a lot after listening to your five-minute list.
Yeah. One hour is
heaven.
Oh, I mean, you can almost, you know, lay
yeah.
back and rest a bit, but it's,
yeah. you can have a little cup of tea during
yeah,
that.
Cup of tea, yes.
Now, were your homes ever actually burnt?
No.
No.
But I was 12 houses from the last one that burned to the ground.
Wow.
And the whole church down below me had burned to the ground, and there were, I think there were about 18 to 25 homes in my canyon that burned to the ground.
Oh, my
God. I'm talking right to the ground, nothing left.
Nothing left, nothing left.
So that's the other thing. If you have nothing left, where do you start?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the name of your agent? What is the phone number? What's your policy number?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't realize how much information you have stored in your house, and if it's all gone.
Uh-huh. Now,
I mean, imagine a tornado. Think what happens in a tornado. I mean, it's just flattened.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
And they actually don't even have any warning usually
no
whatsoever.
Warning. 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So now, you have to also store this information off-site. You know, you can have it. We have an e-book, and you can put it up in the cloud.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, put it in a safe deposit box, send it over to your family in another state.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. You know, that's a wonderful idea, to make copies and then have someone else keep your copies. Yeah.
Let's say you go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're on a trip.
Yeah.
People in the Bel Air fire here, there were hundreds of homes burned to the ground, 600 and something. I happen to know 7 people that were in that fire, and one of them was on a cruise ship, came home, and the only thing that they had was what they were wearing on the ship, and they came
wow.
home, and their house was completely gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, there's nothing. There was nothing. So...
What a welcome call that is.
Yeah, that can happen. And so you really have to think this through, almost like you were taking care of a lot of people. What would you have to prepare for a lot of people, small children?
Yes.
And so simple things like, let's say you don't have any electricity. Maybe you won't have electricity in this disaster for, I don't know, 6 days. Maybe you need some cash. Have any cash on you? The ATMs, I guarantee, will be empty in minutes after that.
Yeah.
Minutes. They'll be gone. So,
you certainly are the voice of experience, and I'm thrilled to be able to share you with my listeners. We're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Sally Lamb, we're going to talk a little bit about where you can find her book and her website. And also we're going to talk about estate planning and legacy issues. We'll be right back with Sally Lamb.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my guest, Sally Lamb, who is the co-author of Cash Under the Mattress with Philip Giroux. And Cash Under the Mattress, that title's fantastic, resonates with me because that's exactly where my grandmother kept her cash.
Yes.
And I think we all remember grandparents or parents who did the same thing. But let's talk about the emotional transition of dealing with death that's layered and demanding, and quite simply, most of us are ill-equipped to tie up all the loose ends of our estate or anyone else's. Isn't that true?
Yes, yes. And it's a subject people shy away from, but
We've
made it so that it's very easy. You're just filling in an in-depth inventory of what you have, where is it, what are the numbers like for, you know, do you have passwords? How does somebody else step into your life?
Uh-huh.
And this is also not necessarily only about death. You might be critically ill or incapacitated in some way. And maybe you would like to decide in advance, where would you like to have, where's your rest home? Which rest home do you like?
Mm-hmm,
go out
mm-hmm.
and check them out. Visit them. See what you like.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't put it down, if you don't write it down, somebody else is going to decide this for you.
Yeah, yeah. Share with us your website, and would you tell my listeners how they can get your book?
Sure. Our website is cashunderthemattressbook.com.
Okay.
And we have, you can see on that listing, we have e-books. We have it listed. You can buy it through Amazon, Author House, Barnes & Noble, Powell's, and also IndieBound. So lots of different bookstores. And the website gives you also a chance, like in most Amazon books, you can peek in and see what they're about.
And is your book in Kindle format?
It's only in the e-book. Kindle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, wonderful. Now, what was the format, and how did you make your book user-friendly?
We used a big print.
Okay.
Number one, I kept saying, nobody needs to put on their glasses to see this.
Good, good, good.
And
I love that.
It's simple.
Uh-huh.
It's divided into 8 chapters, so that you can. I mean, our goal was with Philip Giroux and myself. We thought, okay, what if we had sat down with our parents, and went and filled this in, because both of our parents, we've known each other since we were teenagers. And his father died, my father died, his mother died, my mother died. We looked at each other after this was all said and done. We said, you know what? We have learned so much. Let's put together something that's very simple, very easy to fill in, non-threatening, just simply saying, you know, let's tell me, where is that item, you know? He had the experience of rattling, hearing a rattle inside of a shoebox and realized that was that was his mother's stash of her favorite rings and everything. And, I mean, you know, you almost give this stuff away sometimes. And dealing with the whole chapter on funerals came out of my experience where my sisters and I put together, you know, it's, you do it while you're mourning. You know, you're in shock. And this is a checklist. All you do is check it off. We have this, we have this person, whatever. And we thought of it all. And we thought, you know, this could be useful to our fellow man. Let's help somebody else not suffer as we did.
Well, this, your book is fantastic. I have it right in front of me. I haven't been able to read the entire book because I just got it, but it is just, you cover everything, and you go for the issues that are under the radar. Would you share some of those?
Well, for instance, let's say somebody has a pet, and this, let's say it's your mother, and she dies, and she has a pet. Where's the vet? What does the pet eat? Who takes care of the pet? Things like also deciding if you want to really help your kids, don't assume that the best thing is to say, I'll just let them divide up all of my stuff. It puts a tremendous burden on the heirs, and very often there are all kinds of conflicts. I'm sure you've heard.
People who
never speak again, you know, over the grandfather clock, who got it, you know. So one of the things we suggest is to designate in advance. Do some planning. Ask your kids, what do you want? What's your favorite stuff? Make a list. Put their names under the grandfather clock, whatever. And
put
if
little.
There's a conflict, you know, you can designate, and they will probably be so thrilled that they don't have to fight over this. It's what mom wanted, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It is such good advice. And I know some people have gone around and they put little stickers on things in their home.
Exactly. It seems silly, but, you know, it isn't, because ultimately every single item, down to the paper clips, are going to go someplace.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have the stuff. And you know, divvying these things up and is an amazing process in itself, and also sometimes you find everybody wants the same stuff.
Right.
So what do you do? So we put together 12 ways to avoid conflict and a whole list before and after someone dies. And it's kind of, you know, we say that you got to confront the issues of death and dying, because too late could arrive as soon as tomorrow. Well, no,
sure.
We don't know.
Well, you know, this is a great book for children to give to their parents, because it's not as if you're going to be sitting them down and grilling them, but it will certainly, I hope, light a fire, because it's made me start thinking, you know, we have 4 children, and I think one of the things I'm going to do is sit down and ask each one of them if there's anything in particular they really would want, because sometimes you don't know what's important to them. You know, one child might value something and another one wants something else, and I think if you have that discussion, it could really help in the future. Don't you agree?
Oh, a tremendous help. It's your chance to say, I love you. It's a chance to say, you know what, every one of you are special and dear, and I want it right, and I want it right between you when I'm not here.
Yeah.
And so that helps, and also there's a comfort from the person who fills it out. They get a peace of mind feeling. And I had a little story of a friend who bought the book. She gave it to her mother, asked her to fill it out. Her mother didn't. She said, I don't know, I'm organized. And finally she said, Mom, please do this. the mother finally filled it out, and she was shocked at how scattered her stuff was. And she finally gave the book to the daughter, who just was thrilled. She said, "Oh, thank you so much.
Oh,
I don't have to worry anymore."
This is definitely a gift that you can give to the executor of your estate, and it's a gift that you can give to your children and your grandchildren or any of your dear friends. Now, do you give any legal advice in this book?
Zero. Neither one of us are lawyers. And there is no advice at all. It is simply, who is your lawyer? Who is your accountant?
Just the information.
Write it down. There are tons of books with legal advice, and of course lawyers all over the place. We went to the stores and the bookstores and looked at what was on the shelf, and we said, you know, this is for a different purpose. This is an inventory. This is a chance for you to say, this is the gift I want to give you. This is a chance to say, this is the music I like at my funeral. You know, this is a chance to say, okay, I am being an adult here. I am really facing the fact that I'm not going to be here forever. And it's a very kind thing to give this to somebody and say, we understand. And, of course, there's always the emergency side of it. And I don't know, there's emergency disaster stuff in almost every part of the United States or the world, certainly.
Yes, there certainly is. Between earthquakes, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods.
Tsunami.
Yeah, I know. Not to be doom and gloom, but this is the reality. And just think how well people will sleep after they go through this book and fill it out, because you won't be wondering or you won't be creating conflict with your children. Gosh knows there'll probably be enough without you adding to it. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from another sponsor. And when we come back with Sally Lam, we're going to talk about what success means to her, if she has any regrets, and any more wonderful, fantastic advice for us. We'll be right back with Sally Lam.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope all of you listening are socially fit, and if not, I hope you will become fit this year. We're back with my wonderful guest, Sally Lam, who is the co-author with Philip Giroux of Cash Under the Mattress. I just kind of, Sally, wanted to briefly go over the chapters for our listeners so they'll get a feel for what they're going to see and work with in this book. Chapter one is the personals, the nitty-gritty. Chapter two is for your family, your inner circle, the directory, the family tree. Chapter three, property. Where's all your stuff? Now, that would take me a while to get that organized. Chapter four is business and financial, the purse strings, Chapter five is legal, the do's, the dot the I's and cross the T's. Well, we all need to know that. Chapter six is your insurance policies. Chapter seven, medical from head to toe. And chapter eight, the last hurrah. It's all about how to organize your funeral. And all, you know, and I noticed one of the things is death certificates. And one of my dear friends just lost her husband. And she told me the other day she thought she had to order 30 death certificates because everyone she talked to wanted one. And that year after the funeral can just be a disaster if you're trying to get it all pulled together. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes. Let's say you have to step in and sell the house. Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I cannot tell you how much work that was.
I bet.
So, you know, I think that the chapters, we really, I think, covered everything we could possibly think of. We put it out in front of friends a few times and said, have we missed anything? They said, no, you got it, everything.
Yeah, it is the most thorough book I've ever seen. I can't wait to get started on it. Now, what sort of work do you and Philip do when you're not working once a week on books?
Right. Well, as I say, I'm a professional artist. I paint and I show my work in galleries and do a lot of commission work. And then I also teach on the side, because one of the things you have to do as a painter, you must accumulate enough paintings before a show so that you have inventory. And so then you're not selling anything, so I hold it and then I teach. Philip is a landscape architect, and he has a wonderful crew that also do building out of all sorts of things, do landscaping. And that's really why we were so busy in our own careers. The struggle was certainly carving out 2 hours, which seemed like it wouldn't take that much, but it did.
It did, yeah.
You know, and we did it every week, every week. And then we get discouraged and we encourage each other and say, you know, but this we must, you know, keep going.
Okay, now, how long have you known Philip?
I've known him since I was a teenager. I met him when I was 15.
Oh, my gosh.
He was friends with my older sister and her crowd. And so, yeah, I've known him a long, long time. And and I think what's also interesting is our families knew each other. And his parents were organized like mine. You know, they had all of the major things, you know, the lawyer, the accountant, all that. But we discovered there was so much other stuff involved, and that's really what we decided to write the book.
Well, I think this book is wonderful. Now, once I get my book, my inventory taken care of, and where should I store this book?
I think there should be a copy in your residence. I think there should be a copy in the safe deposit box. I think there should be a copy with somebody who lives outside the area or even the state.
There's
somebody you really trust, because you're putting a lot of information in there.
Yeah.
The other thing is to use the e-book and have it stored. I guess they're stored in the clouds. Stored in the clouds. I don't quite understand it, but I'll go for it.
Oh, yeah, that's really, you know, I've had all my books turned into e-books, and that's the digital process now, and that's probably a wonderful idea. So when I start on this, I'm going to do it on my computer, save the digital, and share that with my children, and I think that would probably cover it all. And I like the idea about have a copy out of the area, a hard copy, in your residence and out of the area or in a safe deposit box. You know, what does success mean to you, Sally Lamb, today as we're speaking?
Success, well, for me, there are so many different kinds of successes that I've enjoyed in life. I have felt very, very fulfilled as an artist. I think this book fulfilled for both of us the sense that we were contributing something to other people, unknown to us, sort of to the world, to our fellow man, and that feels really good, because when you can take your own personal life and say, you know, let me tell you some stuff I've learned. I want to pass on some information. Here's the baton. I'm going to give it to you. You do with it what you can, but also get prepared. And to inspire people is a wonderful feeling. It's a success in itself. And so I feel very, very grateful. And life, I embrace life. And so even the struggles always have taught me things. And I never really think too much about them being negative. I just say that was something I needed to learn.
Right.
And
well, that's
I'm joyful about it.
That's a great way to go about it. Now, do you have any regrets that you could share or things you wish you might have done differently?
Oh, that list probably is very long, but you know what I do with that list? I look at that list and I say, you know, I could have done those things better,
mm-hmm.
but I
mm-hmm.
did this and I did my best.
Yes.
And I always, you know, I could pick myself apart with all the shoulda, woulda, coulda, but
mm-hmm.
I always know that I feel somewhat guided in life anyway. I have a very
uh-huh.
strong spiritual sense. And I try not to have regrets and remorse, and I try and stay away from that and go towards the positive and towards something that I can say, you know, I have fulfilled so many
mm-hmm.
of my dreams and hopes that aren't I fortunate.
Oh, yeah.
I tend not to focus on the other too much. As I say, that's a long list, and maybe it's crumpled up and under some pillow someplace or wherever hidden. I don't want to know about it.
Well, now, this I take it was your first book that you wrote with Philip. Do you have any more books coming up?
Well, it's my first book. He wrote a book on one of the Dummies series on gardening for dummies.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did that, and that has a very specific kind of format that you must
uh-huh.
write in. And so he did that a number of years ago. I've never written a book before. Am I going to write another book? Well, there's no sequel to this, trust me.
No, okay.
I have thought many times of writing books about watercolor painting, oil painting,
uh-huh.
drawing. I don't know. I think there probably is a book in me. I don't know what it is.
Okay, well.
I'm sort of living it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll look back on these times. I've traveled all over the world extensively, and I have had huge experiences in other countries, huge. So maybe some of those things will someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you're going to have a hard time topping this last book, Cash Under the Mattress. It's basically a book about disaster and estate planning for dummies, and you
mm-hmm.
really inspired me. I'm going to get my act together. I have 4 children and 7 grandchildren that
Ooh.
I owe it to.
Yeah.
And I will do this, and I do hope you will come back, and perhaps next time Philip can come back and visit with us again.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you, January.
It's been great. To my listeners, we hope you have enjoyed this show today. Hasn't it been interesting and very informative with some really, really great advice for all of us, advice that I'm going to take. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my dear guest today, Sally Lamb. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.